offense, there have still been moments in this season where you've got Taylor Gabriel on a linebacker wide open, and then Mitch misses that, you know, overthrows it or underthrows it or what have you. I mean, there's still instances where Matt Nagy is scheming guys open, but for almost every one of those, and it can't be a one-to-one relationship, but it feels like it is this year. For every one of those, you've got your option play to the short side of the field. You've got a wide receiver screen that goes nowhere. You've got five wide on third and six. You've got going for it on a fourth and nine where you ought not to be. You know, all these things, they add up. And unfortunately for Nagy, like, those decisions hurt more than scheming the wide receiver open because you also have the quarterback who doesn't hit it consistently.
Yeah, that's a good point, Connor. And I'm glad that you brought up the third and one play. It's still stuck in my craw a little bit. And I'm not here to try and figure out. I'll leave that up to Dan, because Dan's the better detective in these sort of things. I'm not here to try to figure out if Mitch is hurt. I think Mitch is hurt. But if you knew that he was hurt, why in the world would you take an unnecessary risk to expose him to? And you're asking him to do two things. You're asking him to plant on the pitch,
I don't know,
on the right hip that's hurt, and then pitch with the arm that's hurt. And you're putting him in danger of someone destroying him, even if he does pitch the ball. It just
also, why wasn't he getting treatment from trainers and or doctors if, in fact, it was tightening up? And it was fine, and he could play, and he leads the terrific touchdown drive and makes a bunch of really good throws. And then all of a sudden, oh, no, can't go. Can't go. Well, why aren't you talking with somebody? Hey, you know, help me loosen this up a little bit, because there's all kinds of modalities that they have. They've got these giant heating pads to help loosen up tight tissue. They've got anti-inflammatory rubs and things. They can whatever you want to do, but consult people whose job it is to help you loosen up.
So, I just don't want to get to the end of this season, because I think it was super convenient at the end of last season to go, oh, Cody Parkey.
Just the kicker. That's it. That's
all they're missing.
Yeah, we kind of fell for the okie doke on that one, didn't we?
Yeah. It's Cody Parkey. That's all that they're missing. This is a Super Bowl team. And now I think that there's been so much evidence to there's a lot of stuff wrong. And do you trust Matt Nagy to fix it? That's where we're at now.
See, that's the bigger question to me, because I think some people may have fallen for it's just the kicker conversation. I think you're right. We fell for it to a degree, but
we didn't actually say. I don't think anybody actually sat here and said it's only the kicker.
Of course not. You and I sat here and said score 24. You get yourself to 24 points a game. Be at that level. Like, this is, I think everybody understood that it was mandatory for the offense to take a step forward, that you had to fix the kicking situation. But I don't think anyone allowed for the possibility that this offense could go to the bottom of the league. I mean, they're last in yards per pass attempt, 5.8. Everybody else is above 6. They're last. They have the 23rd worst passer rating in the league.
Weren't they about 3.5 yards per play on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, it's really bad.
Yards per play.
They're only one of two teams this year, the Bears and the Titans, are the only two teams to have run 70 or more plays in a game and have scored 7 or fewer points.
I think it was, 3.3 yards per play for them. And the goal in those situations is you want to be about 5.5 yards per play.
Oh, absolutely. If you look at the passer rate, right here, they're 23rd, 83.9. Here are the teams below them. Washington, L.A., Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh, Carolina, Cleveland, the New York Jets, Cincinnati, and Miami. All but three of those teams would take a quarterback in the first round.
Oof. You don't want to be
and you,
there.
And you might include two more teams in there, depending on how they feel about current options.
I'm interested to see what happens over the next 2 weeks and what type of, like, now I'm starting to, like, when I look at these two games, the two games in 10 days, what's the effort level? Like, what's the output? Have guys looked at this loss and gone, all right, we're done? And will they play like they're done against the Giants and the Lions? Or,
because I thought it was there in the last game. I thought the defense was popping, flying.
Yeah, I thought there was a strong effort by everyone, and they just weren't very good. I am looking forward to seeing if, you know, maybe I don't dive for that ball, or maybe I pull up on a box tackle.
Or maybe I don't finish my route on the weak side of a play when the ball is not coming for me.
Or block weak side. Like, some of that stuff. I'm very curious to see how that goes. You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. They are Bernstein and McKnight. They are here every day, 9 a.m. until noon, talking about all sorts of stuff, including fart jokes. The top of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Tomorrow night, the Chicago Wolves host their 1,000th regular season game at Allstate Arena. Even better, it's the first craft beer night of the season. To get your tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. We are winners. We are the Wolves. And this hour is being brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet on Cermak Road in Broadview. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. Tony, let's go.
But I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
He still doesn't understand the question when people ask him to give up play calling. No one's saying that you don't do a good job of designing plays, but what last night and a couple weeks ago shows is that you don't have a great system of communication. And perhaps you being worried and locked in and laser focused on calling the next play is why people are going, well, wait a minute, your quarterback, your backup quarterback that was supposed to be going into the game, still had the earpiece in, coffee in his hand, and no helmet on before you put him into the game. You got to control your sideline. And that's what the question is. It's not even about your inability to call plays. It's about your inability to run a sideline effectively as the CEO of the Bears on game day.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Boy, I was a little fired up yesterday. I mean, I guess it makes sense for a Built for Tough Bears Monday. But today's Tuesday. Tuesday's our day here on the show. And this is what we have planned for you. We're going to talk with Mark Potash at 1 o'clock. He covers the Bears for the Sun-Times, is also the star of the Palace Intrigue podcast that the Sun-Times does. It's Tuesday, and it's Tuesday during the NFL season. You know what that means? That means that Campy, Tony, and I are going to tell you things that we think we know about the NFL through 11 weeks of football.
You know what's funny about that segment? I always forget about that segment.
I don't know why.
We do it every week.
Huh? That's why I'm looking for a new executive producer. That's the reason why right there. So we're going to have a little bit of fun on today's show. Let me ask the two guys that cover the Bulls for me on this show. Are we really doing this today? Cause I'm hitting the eject button. Like, I'm out on the whole Bulls thing. For the most part, I'm going to take a look every now and again. But I pretty much hit the eject button, which is what I expected around this time.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. If anybody wants to eject from the Bulls, we'll let you know when they come back.
When we come back?
Yeah, but all right. Yeah, you can eject.
Campy, you're now in, because obviously Tony's going to go work somewhere else after next or 2 weeks from now. Right. So you're now in charge of when we should start paying attention to the Bulls again.
Okay, that's fair.
All right. All right. Yeah. I mean, they are in the rundown today, and they're going to keep being in the rundown. But I mean,
it is, at least they're courteous enough to, if they're going to lose, they keep finding like new things they can do to lose to make it a little bit interesting.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. And Tone got a point last night.
A point on the walk off.
On the walk off, asking questions about sending people to the G League.
You know, brother.
Yeah. Not brother anymore, are you? All right, we start the show as we start all things with the rundown.
Run them down.
The rundown.
Here is your rundown for Tuesday, November 19th. Hey, did you know that the Hawks have won 4 in a row? And in fact, if you look back on their last 7 or 8 games, they've been pretty good, including Kirby Doc.
Starting to play good. I have a lot of confidence in myself, and the team's playing good. So I think that kind of helps out individual success. I mean, your team's going the right way, and you're winning games, and you're scoring goals. Your top players are going to produce. Not saying that I'm a top player or anything, but it helps a lot when everybody's kind of going and we're scoring.
Yeah, here. Yes!
It took a month of reminding Tony, but it finally happened.
I mean, come on, man. The guy scores a couple of goals. We gotta use the Kirby music. This fits into exactly what our show does. So congratulations to Kirby Doc and the Blackhawks. They won four in a row. Back on the ice tonight.
Let's do that hockey.
Let's do that hockey. This is your show for hockey talk and Kirby music. So we need Kirby Doc to be good, because I think everyone deserves more Kirby music in their life. Ray Diaz agrees. Appreciate you, Ray. All right, I guess now we'll get to the Bulls. Hey, there was something that was really great. Daniel Gafford got called up from the G League, and he was like, I'm not going back.
Gafford to Kobe White. White, the inside feed, and the two-handed dunk. Daniel Gafford with the slam. White in the lane, to the rim. No, put back, two-handed dunk. Daniel Gafford. Daniel Gafford is 4 for 4. Put him in the Hall of Fame. He leads the NBA in the history with a shooting percentage of 1,000. Levine. The lob and the throwdown with right-handed dunk. Daniel Gafford from Zach Levine.
That's four dunks in this game. That ties the most for a Bull in a game, and we're in the first half.
Wow. 21 points for him, which is fantastic. You get called up. He's a long athlete that will run the floor. I think this is true. He did not attempt a three-point shot in college.
Nope.
That's pretty incredible.
He knows what he's here for.
That's right. Run the floor, big fella. Put backs and lobs. It's worked for DeAndre Jordan. He's real rich because he can do that. So just run the floor. That's all you got to do.
Jim Boylan mentioned how much he likes that he has someone that actually knows what his role is.
Know your role and shut your mouth. That's what Jim Boylan says. All right, now on to when Milwaukee took the game over.
Taken away by Hilda Bledsoe. Bledsoe on a 1-on-3. Bledsoe with the Euro step. Right-handed layup. Oh, no. Count it in the foul. Eric Bledsoe with a hoop in the arm. And one. And here come the Bucks. DiVincenzo with a handoff to Eric Bledsoe. Bledsoe gives it up inside. Brook Lopez with a layup with the right hand. Count it. And a foul. Bucks content now to eat the clock. Here's a spin and a curl. And Giannis with a right-handed dunk. Count it in the foul on a strong post-up. Here's Market in baseline left, and they go to Arch. Now Kobe White, and he can't get a shot off nonetheless. And the final, 115-101.
Am I looking at this box score right? Did the Bulls have four starters not crack double digits?
Yep.
Is that good?
No, it's not good. You had five guys out there, and only one of them crack double digits. Larry Markkanen had 9 points last night. Okay, here's what Jim Boylan says he's looking for his team to close out games.
We missed plays at the rim. We missed open shots. We turned it over. We thought we chased the ball a little bit, so to just settle down and calm down a little bit, which is a learning moment for us. They have a guy that they can go to that can get him a bucket, which is what good teams have. I've been on those teams. We're figuring out who that guy is, and we're learning how to play that way. We're not there yet. So give them credit.
No, you're not there yet. And
I was actually surprised he said that openly. Like, you got a guy that was supposed to have been an all-star year for him in his sixth season. You got supposed to have a third-year guy that's supposed to make that jump. And he's like, we're still trying to figure out who can close games for us. Like, that was just, wow.
Yeah. That's, I don't think that they should be at this point. Look, you guys know what happens to me when I start talking about the Bulls in a big picture scenario. I get really mad. And I get really mad because a lot of this stuff is just avoidable. Don't talk to me about the playoffs. Don't.
They're changing the narrative because the season has gone poorly and it doesn't look like it's going to get any better. Like, don't keep saying development, development. No, 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 no. Everybody at the beginning of the year said playoffs. So don't switch it to development when it's convenient.
And how many years really are we going to talk about development? How many years are we going to talk about the Bulls being young? Even though you got guys in, you know, 6 years in, you're talking about them being young.
And the youngest team in the league is above 500 in the Phoenix Suns.
Yep. It just makes me, like, I've gone from, you know, ordinarily it's an anger thing, and now it's just like, whatever, man. Like, whatever you guys are trying to sell over there at 1901, whatever. Because all I see is it not happening. Whether you're talking about development or you're talking about being a top team, and you keep trotting these guys out here. Jim Boylan has one of the worst first-year records. It's, you know what? Fine. Here's Lauri Markkanen talking about why he's struggling right now.
Not probably this long. There's just obviously shooters and all the players go through slumps, so to speak. And everybody's breaking through it at some point. And I know when I'm staying confident, believing every shot's going in, I know it's concerning.
Okay. You scored 9 points last night, and there have been too many games that Lauri Markkanen has either not been aggressive enough or hasn't played well enough. There's already been a game where he had 2 shots in the second half of a game. You can't be the lead dog and be this guy as often as he is this guy. And we're, what, 14 games in at this point? And how many of those games have we asked, where's Lauri Markkanen?
90%.
Too many. Too many. 5 would be too many at this point in the season of where he is. If development is your thing, why isn't the development of that guy more important? Whether it's playing time or getting him touches or telling him to be aggressive and shoot. None of it makes any sense, and it just absolutely sucks.
And can you stop trying to dunk from too far away? That'd be nice.
Yeah. Please stop doing that.
That's the Markkanen now. He's done it enough, I think. Well, that's his thing.
He's not driving with a purpose. He's just driving to throw his body around. He's 7 feet. He shouldn't be getting stuffed at the rim and blocked as much as he's gotten.
I agree. But there's no... What the Bulls give you is... And there was some hope at the beginning of the season based on some of the things. And look, there are good things that are happening, like Daniel Gafford last night. That was great for him. I like Wendell Carter Jr., although he made a couple business decisions last night when Giannis was coming down the lane. But what else? What else, if I'm a Bulls fan, am I even looking? I don't.
It's exciting to see Kobe, you know, when he's got it going.
When he's got the opportunity. But it's the same old, man. And it makes me sad every single time. Every single time. It sucks. All right. On to the Bears. Speaking of sad, here's what Matt Nagy says about what's going on and why Khalil Mack has been less productive from a statistical standpoint.
You see that with some of the production, and you see that with a lot of superstars is, you know, you could go back to last year with Aaron Donald, right? When he played us, there wasn't any. And so sometimes that happens, but it opens it up for other guys. He was a part of that first play of the game with the fumble. He was right in and on there with 39, with Eddie Jackson ripping that ball out. But, you know, Khalil, he doesn't have to change anything he's doing. He's a pretty good player, and he understands in this scheme that kind of it's cyclical, and we're just in that right now. Teams are going to go ahead and double him every single game, and it just gives opportunities to other guys.
Yes, and that's probably the bigger portion, and that's our rundown for Tuesday, November 19th. That's the bigger issue here. I brought it up on Sunday after looking through the statistics. I get the official box from the NFL, and I'm sitting there going,
You don't think it's real?
Yeah, like I'm sitting there going, I had other people look at it because Olin had said it during the show, and I was like, it's not possible that Mac didn't scratch on the scorecard, and he didn't. He did not. So, no tackles, no assists, no sacks, no tackles for loss, no forced fumbles, no fumble recoveries, no passes defended for Mac. Now, I know that the statistics don't always tell the story with a guy like that, but the bigger point is at the end of what Matt Nagy said. Tony, can you run it again? Matt Nagy talking about Khalil Mack, because there's a significant point about what else has to happen if Khalil Mack is getting double, triple team, wide receiver, tight end cracked all of that stuff that he's going through.
You see that with some of the production, and you see that with a lot of superstars is, you know, you could go back to last year with Aaron Donald, right? When he played us, there wasn't any.